This is the Hometown Take.
A look at all the top local sports stories.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. It is the Hometown Take. Live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Sunday morning. 11:03 here on a Sunday. I hope you all are having a great start to your day. Hope you all have been having a great weekend, whether it's been fun, relaxing, productive, maybe a little bit of both, maybe fun, relaxing, productive, all of them. Either way it goes, I hope you all have had a great weekend. Hopefully everything has gone according to plan. Hopefully you haven't really gotten stuck in that I-285 shutdown traffic. I haven't heard too much about it, so I think people have just been doing a good job of staying away from that area, staying in the house if they can, or just staying, you know, within their local streets, because I haven't really felt the traffic from it either. Now, I will say, all I've done so far, obviously, this morning is come here, and then all I did yesterday was go pick my girlfriend up, Simone, from the airport, and then we came back. So there was a little bit of traffic, but nothing that was out of the norm. Normal Atlanta traffic, Saturday afternoon, evening traffic there. Well, it was really evening because I didn't have to go pick her up until around 6. So I've been staying out the way. You know what I'm saying? Hey, y'all got it. Y'all saying y'all shutting down the roads. Y'all got to do that construction. Hey, go do what you got to do. I'm going to stay out the way. I'm staying in the house. He ain't got to tell me twice. But hopefully you've been able to stay out the way of that traffic. Obviously, they're working on it, redoing the concrete in preparation for, obviously, the World Cup, getting the roads right for that, and just making sure the roads are where they need to be for all the local Atlanteans, the ATLians out there as well. So hopefully you all have been having a great weekend thus far. We're going to talk more about the Braves here in about 15 minutes from now, talk about what went down last night. Braves do lose 3-2. We'll get more into that. We'll let you hear from Walt Weiss about his decision to keep Bryce Elder in against Wilson Contreras. And obviously, Contreras ended up hitting the go-ahead two-run homer for the Red Sox. Ended up being the difference in the game. Again, I don't think we should be tripping on that too much. But we'll let Walt Weiss talk about that here in about 15 minutes from now. Right now, though, I do want to get into some NFL headlines. We know what quarterback the Steelers are going to be rolling out week one against the Atlanta Falcons, and we pretty much already knew it was going to be Aaron Rodgers, and the Pittsburgh Steelers have agreed to a one-year deal going to be worth up to $25 million. That's what Adam Schefter reported last night. The deal is expected to include a base salary between $22 and $23 million with up to a few million more in incentives. Aaron Rodgers, 42, recently returned to the Pittsburgh area ahead of Monday's OTAs and was seen getting ice cream with several teammates at a local shop Friday night. A little bit of team bonding, team outing. Nothing better to bond over an ice cream. Man, quick sidebar, just real quick sidebar. And when we do Grillin' Dylan coming up at 12:40, we can get into this too. What is your favorite ice cream? Favorite ice cream shop, I should say. Not just favorite ice cream, but favorite ice cream shop. Your favorite creamery, favorite ice cream place, because there is nothing better. You know, the McFlurries of the world are great. I love me a good McFlurry. I love me a good Frosty. You know, I love the ice creams that you can get from the fast food places. Don't get me wrong. The milkshakes, you know, Chick-fil-A's cookies and cream milkshake are goated. I feel like people sleep on the frosted lemonades from Chick-fil-A. Bro, they're frosted lemonades. Oh, my goodness. Let me tell you about them real quick. The frosted lemonades at Chick-fil-A, they are so good. That strawberry hibiscus one, they got at Chick-fil-A. I mean, hoo-hoo-wee. So don't get me wrong. I love my local sweets and treats from, you know, the fast food and fast casual places. But there is nothing like going to a actual creamery, an actual dessert place where they do it for real, where that's their thing, where desserts and ice cream is their job for real, for real. It's not just a side thing. It's not just something else that they offer. It's what they actually do. That's what you go in there to get. When you talk about a Andy's frozen custard of the world. When you talk about a stone cold or cold stone. I always want to call it stone cold. I always get it mixed up. A cold stone creamery. When you talk about Brewster's. When you talk about places like that. Where you, it just the smell of the ice cream is different. Because you know it's the real deal. So that could be a question we talk about on Grillin' Dylan. What's your favorite creamery? You can tweet at me at underscore Dylan Matthews. Or we'll open up the phone lines a little bit later. 404-726-0929. But I just had to get on that sidebar. Anyways, obviously Aaron Rodgers. And I wonder where Aaron Rodgers and his teammates went Friday night in Pittsburgh when they were bonding over ice cream. Anywho, so Saturday's decision between the Steelers and Aaron Rodgers comes weeks after the Steelers placed a UFA tender on Aaron Rodgers in a procedural move that would either give them the compensatory pick if he signed elsewhere before training camp or restrict his ability to sign with another team once training camp begins. It seemed like he was always going to go back to Pittsburgh. Everything kind of, all the stars kind of aligned for him to go to back to Pittsburgh. Obviously, the Steelers hiring Mike McCarthy after Mike Tomlin stepped down. Obviously, Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers won a Super Bowl in Green Bay. And it seemed like he had a lot of fun in Pittsburgh. I mean, there were times in the season where you heard him talk about how, man, that I'm really having fun. And, you know, being here has helped me love football again. So it seemed like he really liked it in Pittsburgh. And he really liked everything that went down in Pittsburgh. And so now that even though Mike Tomlin is leaving, he's got another head coach that obviously he won a Super Bowl with and he's familiar with and that he likes coming in. So there was no reason for me. I never saw any why Aaron Rodgers would go anywhere else. And plus, he didn't really have that many options anyway. So it always seemed like he was, if he was going to play, which that was the real question to me, whether or not he was actually going to play and actually wanted to play. If he was going to play, I think it was always going to be, he was always going to come back with the Steelers. So we'll see how that ends up happening. And as far as Mike McCarthy goes, talking about reuniting with Aaron Rodgers, he said, quote, "I don't see why you wouldn't." This is what he said in his introductory press conference back a while ago. He said, "I was able to sit back and watch the games, watch most of the Pittsburgh games on TV, and I thought he was a great asset for the team." So, looks like it should be another solid marriage for Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers, and we'll just see if this team is able to get it done because, look, they have some talent. Obviously got T.J. Watt in a pretty darn good defense. Offensively, see what they're able to do. And that was really the issue for them last year. Couldn't really get too many things figured out defensively. And obviously, you know, DK Metcalf and missing time, and that really hurt them because they were on track to make the playoffs. DK Metcalf missed those final two games, and they, you know, that ended up hurting them. But still, it'll be interesting to see how this team ends up playing out with Mike McCarthy now under the helm, at the helm, and we'll see what happens. But we do know. Week one in Pittsburgh, going to be what? Sunday, September 13th, 1 p.m. on Fox. The Falcons are going to be taking on Aaron Rodgers and the Pittsburgh Steelers in Pittsburgh. So, should be a fun matchup. And look, as far as that matchup goes, just give you my overall thoughts on that. And obviously, between now and then, there's still a lot of time between, what are we, May 17th and September 13th. There's a lot of time between now and then. A lot of things can change and rearrange, but I feel like if we can score against the Steelers, I feel like we can honestly have a pretty good chance at beating them. You know, DK Metcalf is going to be his own issue, but I feel like we could have a pretty good chance at sacking Aaron Rodgers. Now, obviously, I wish we would have had, you know, James Pierce Jr. be ready to start the year with us, but we talk about Jalen Walker, Xavier Watts, you know, some of the other guys we added on defense, now Avion Terrell. I feel like with Jeff Ober coming back too, I feel like we'll have a pretty good chance. And obviously, again, barring health, obviously, but I feel like we'll have a pretty good chance to keep up with the Steelers and kind of hold them back offensively. So I feel like we'll be able to get some things done defensively to where this could end up being a low scoring week one game. And I feel like if we can score enough offensively that we should be able to get a week one win against the Steelers. But again, we'll see. And a lot can change and rearrange between now and then. Some other quick NFL headlines that I do want to talk about here while we got a couple of minutes left here in the opening segment. It is the Hometown Take, by the way, with your boy Dylan Matthews on a Sunday morning. Some other NFL headlines that I want to get to is the NFL is pushing back on the criticisms they're getting of streaming games. So the NFL is defending its expanded lineup of games on streaming platforms and criticism from old President Donald Trump and the scrutiny from the U.S. Justice Department. While discussing this week's schedule release with reporters, NFL Executive Vice President of Media Distribution Hans Schroeder on Friday suggested the league has no intention of pulling back from its partnerships with streaming services. Quote, "We love our model," Schroeder said. "We think we have the most fan-friendly model there is of any sport or entertainment as far as distribution. The NFL airs 87% of its games on free broadcast networks, CBS, NBC, and Fox, and ABC, according to the league officials." But Schroeder argued that the league is actually meeting consumers where they are in an era of cord-cutting by adding games on platforms such as Netflix. "We think broadcast networks have been an incredible home, and now we also know fans are increasingly spending their time on other platforms as well. They tune in into broadcast for the NFL, and that's where we want to be. But we also want to be on these platforms with a limited amount of our games where we know our NFL fans are already as well." So, look, when it comes to the streaming stuff, man, it's hit or miss for me. Like, yes, Schroeder does have a point because, yes, there are more people now cutting the cord. And I know a lot of people that have just Netflix or just Hulu or, you know, have the combination of, you know, Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, and they don't have the regular type of cable. So I get it from that standpoint. But you also do have your tried and true fans that have the cable and still, and they feel like now they're having to scramble to go get Amazon Prime and now Netflix and these other things. So look, it's one of those things where everybody is different. And I think the NFL, for the most part, is appealing to the masses, but you can't make everybody happy. And that's kind of where I'm at with this in it all. So I get it. I do want to touch on this story about the NFL also saying that Wednesday games are a good thing for fans. For fans, yes, but at some point, the NFL talks all this about caring about players and player safety and all that. Wednesday games, and I know they aren't doing them every week, but Wednesday games are, okay, yes, good for the fans.
Yet. They're not doing them every week yet.
You're right, because, look, it all starts with a little sprinkle. A little sprinkling them in, and then sooner or later, they're like, yeah, you know, we're going to have a marquee Wednesday matchup every other week. And then you're going to say, you know what? We got a Thursday game. Why not throw a Wednesday game in there every week now, too? It's all about the money. It's all about the money. And if the NFL can find a way, and look, it's the NFL's job to make money. They want to make money. And so if they feel like adding a Wednesday game every week is a way they can make money and they can, you know, find a way to logistically do it without getting too much gripe and complaint from the players, they're going to do it. So to your point, Noel, yet is definitely a key word. But we'll talk more about it on the other side as well, too. And we'll get into some Braves baseball as well. They lose 3-2 to the Red Sox yesterday, looking to get the series win in the rubber match later on this afternoon. We'll talk about it all next here on the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Sunday morning on Sports Radio. 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
This is the Hometown Take.
A look at all the top local sports stories
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Sunday morning. 11:22 on here on a Sunday. I appreciate you all tuning in. Make sure you follow the radio station at 92.9 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at _ Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. And make sure you download that free Odyssey app so you can listen to the radio station wherever you are and whenever you want to. We're going to talk some Braves baseball here coming up in a couple of minutes. Braves going for another series win, rubber match tonight, or this afternoon, I should say, between the Braves and Red Sox. Braves lose last night 3-2. Tough way to lose. A couple of different circumstances that were tough pills to swallow. Bryce Elder in the eighth inning after pitching just a gem last night. unfortunately gives up an untimely two-run home run to Wilson Contreras. It was a go-ahead run for the Red Sox late in the ball game. It was the eighth inning. Bryce had already gotten the first two outs, got him quick, and then gets a runner on and then gives up the two-run homer to Contreras. So that was unfortunate. And then you get the bases loaded, two outs. Ha-Sung Kim hits a rocket, but it goes off the foot of Aroldis Chapman. Chapman falls down, able to get back up and toss it over to first in time to get Kim out. Kim did everything that he could. Slid head first into first, but just unfortunate. Couple of things happening for the Braves last night that led to that 3-2 loss. We'll talk more about that. Let you hear from Walt Weiss in just a couple of minutes. But I did want to get to one more story that we didn't get a chance to get to when we're talking some NFL headlines. Obviously talked about Aaron Rodgers signing back with the Pittsburgh Steelers, 1-year deal worth up to $25 million. And now we know the Falcons will face off against Aaron Rodgers and the Pittsburgh Steelers in week one of the season. I always figured it was going to be Rodgers, but now it is signed, sealed, delivered. But this other story I wanted to get into as far as the NFL goes. The NFL says it's following fan interest with midweek games. Now, that I don't disagree with because, look, and I'm guilty of it too. I love me some NFL football. I partake in a numerous, maybe even an unhealthy amount of fantasy football leagues. I think I was in like 8 last year. So I absolutely love watching NFL football. I follow it. It is great to watch. I love watching the NFL. Do not get me wrong. So I do think they are right when it comes to watching the NFL. And honestly, at this point, you can't have too much NFL. But at some point, we gotta think about the health and safety of the players, do we not? And I understand right now you don't have too many games that are off of Thursday, Sunday, and Monday, but we're starting to get up there. Because this season, the NFL is starting on a Wednesday night. Usually the opening game of the NFL season is on a Thursday night. Guess what? This year it's on a Wednesday night. And guess what? Next year it's going to be on a Wednesday night. And the year before that, it's going to be on a Wednesday night. This is just going to set a precedent. I don't see why they would go back after starting this year on Wednesday. I don't see them coming back from that. They're going to start on Wednesday night now moving forward. If it works out this year, they're going to do it next year and the year after that and the year after that and all throughout history as long as the NFL remains. So Wednesday night opening night games are now a thing. And why? So they can fit extra game in there. The NFL's like, why not? They're going to watch it. Nobody's going to complain about the NFL season starting a day earlier. And, you know, I guess for the players and the teams go, the NFL's just treating it like they're playing on Thursday. You got a little mini bye week, an extra day's rest, and then you'll play that next Sunday. So It's one of those things where they found a way to put in an extra game here and there, and they're going to keep doing it until the schedule's filled up. And so when you talk about how they're matching out these schedules, they said, and then again, this was NFL Executive Vice President of Media Distribution, Hans Schroeder, talking about this, and he said, giving more football to NFL fans is only a good thing. And again, I don't disagree with that, but again, it's just like, man, we going to keep just pushing the limits of these players, huh? You're going to keep doing that. Now, the NFL did enjoy a 10% jump in ratings last season with the 18.7 million viewers per game, representing the second highest average since the data began being tracked back in 1988. And again, that's why the NFL feels like they can push the limits of traditional scheduling, because anytime there's some NFL on, we're watching. And Schroeder also went on to say, every one of our broadcast partners was up. So I think as we look at balancing the collective distribution of our games, we think there's opportunities to build on that in a selective way. And we've seen when we do that, our fans tune in and watch it. Now, the NFL can't play on Friday until the NFL can't play on Friday night in week one, excuse me. The NFL can't play on Friday night in week one until 2029 because of the Sports Broadcasting Act of 1961 that prohibits the league from televising games on that evening starting with the second Friday of September. Again, that's because of high school football, Friday night football, all that good stuff. So the Friday of week one will be on the second Friday of September, again in 2027 and 2028. So best believe when they can play on Friday in week one, they're going to do that too. So in 2029, best believe there's going to be to open the NFL season, there's going to be a Wednesday night game, there's going to be a Thursday night game, and there's going to be a Friday night game. Heck, by that time, there may even be a Saturday night game. Who knows? There might be NFL Wednesday through Sunday. Actually, Wednesday through Monday on week one in 2029. I guarantee you there might be. I guarantee you there's going to be Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday, Monday. It's just a question now of whether they're going to put it on Saturday, too. And by that time, they just may well. And so when you look at, again, all these games that are now happening on Wednesdays and Fridays and Saturdays, Thanksgiving week is going to feature games on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday, and Monday. Christmas week is going to have games all throughout the week. And so, look, it's a thing where they're pushing the limits because they know we're going to watch. And when they were asked about rest disparity, Hans Schroeder said rest disparity is not a thing. Or excuse me, this was Mr. North, who talked about this. He said, rest disparity is not a thing. You do not have a competitive advantage when you're coming off a bye, when you're coming off your bye. You certainly don't have a competitive advantage when you're 1 day or 2 day or 3 days more well rested. If that data suggests that, then there will adjust. So, okay, I guess until the numbers start proving that there's an advantage, we don't got to worry about rest disparity, even though I do think there are going to be some instances where I think it's definitely a thing. But who knows? If you're interested in this little nugget, the Chargers will have 22 fewer days of rest than their opponents this season. That's the biggest discrepancy since the 2012 Eagles were at minus 23. So the Chargers are going to have 22 fewer days of rest than their opponents this season. So, and then one other nugget is, this season has a few major outliers. The Chargers and the Eagles are playing four games against team coming off bye weeks, while 14 teams don't even do it once. The Raiders and the Rams each have three games against teams coming off bye. So we'll see if the Chargers and the Eagles and the Raiders and the Rams are negatively affected by going against teams that are coming off bye weeks that have a little extra. They obviously have some extra rest, going to come in more well-rested than the Eagles, Chargers, Raiders, and Rams, and they're going to, you know, be able to maybe game plan a little bit longer against those teams. So those would be things to look out for as data suggesting that there's a rest disparity or not. But that's just something I wanted to talk about quickly before we moved on. Now, I do, while we got a couple of minutes here, want to get back into some Braves. And we'll talk about the Braves later on as well, too. But Braves lose last night 3-2. Again, a couple of unfortunate things happening to the Braves last night. First one being that Bryce Elder, who ended up going eight innings, only giving up three runs, he had himself he pissed a gem last night and just gave up a home run that, again, wasn't even a bad pitch. It just, Wilson Contreras went down and got it, and it was a two-run homer that ended up putting the Red Sox ahead. And the only thing I have to say about this is as Braves fans, look, the Braves are 31-15, eight games ahead of the next two best teams in the National League East. We have no room to complain right now. None whatsoever. And I don't want to hear, because I know the Bryce Elder haters were waiting on this. Oh, see? You see, Bryce, he's going Bryce at some point. This is the start of him. This is the start of the Bryce Elder downfall, or him going back to being a pumpkin. No. Bryce Elder has been phenomenal all season long, and he was really good last night. Gave you a quality start. Last time I checked, 6-plus innings, 3 runs or less is a quality start. So he gave you another freaking quality start and was almost through 8 innings with only giving up 1 run. But Wilson Contreras, who's a very good hitter, professional hitter, goes down and gets a pitch that wasn't a bad pitch, and he just hit it out. Sometimes you're going to get got. And a good hitter like that can get anybody. And that's just what happened. And look, if we're going to complain about anything last night, don't complain about Bryce Elder. Complain about batters 2 through 8 going 0-for. That's right. The only hits you got last night were Drake Baldwin and Jose Azokar. Drake Baldwin is the only guy who drove in any runs last night. He hit the solo home run, and he had the RBI single that drove in Jose Azokar. And Jose Azokar hit 2 doubles, and that was it. Drake Baldwin had the solo home run and the RBI single. Jose Azokar had the 2 doubles, and those are the only hits you got. Batters 2 through 8 went 0-for. So if we're going to complain about anything, complain about the offense not showing up last night. But again, the offense is going to have nights like that too. So I just hope that there are no Bryce Elder haters out there trying to be like, oh, you see, Bryce is turning back into a pumpkin, you see? I don't want to hear that today. I don't want to hear that this morning. But hopefully the Braves do bounce back and get themselves another series win. First pitch set for 1:35. Grant Holmes going to be on the mound for the Bravos. Brian Bello going to be on the mound for the Red Sox. So hopefully the Braves can get another series win and keep the good times rolling. All right. When we come back here on the Hometown Take, we got a game 7 in the NBA tonight. Cavs, Pistons, game 7 in Little Caesars Arena. Think the Cavs might have missed their shot to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. Tell you why next here on the Hometown Take, live in the Key Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Sunday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
This is the Hometown Take.
A look at all the top local sports stories
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Sunday morning. Transitioning into the afternoon here soon, 11:41 here on a Sunday. Hope you all are having a great weekend. Appreciate you tuning in. Make sure you follow the radio station at 92.9 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at _DylanMatthews on all social media platforms as well. And make sure you download that free Odyssey app so you can listen to the radio station wherever you are and whenever you want to. Grillin' Dylan, about an hour away from now, we can talk about whatever you like. Yeah. Movies, music, life, sports, whatever you want to get into. You got a thought on the Braves before they get their series finale going against the Boston Red Sox. First pitch for that set for 1:35. Talk about the Bravos. Did you like? Were you okay with Walt Weiss's decision to leave Bryce Elder in? I was fine with it. He got the first 2 outs pretty quickly there in the 8th. And again, just Wilson Contreras went down and got a good pitch. Wasn't a bad pitch from Bryce Elder, and he just hit it out. Look, sometimes we say it in basketball all the time, good offense is going to always beat good defense. That's kind of what that was last night for Wilson Contreras and Bryce Elder. So I'm cool with it. Look, again, Braves are 31-15, man. We can't complain about too much. It is what it is. So, and also, we were talking about this earlier. It was a sidebar from the story we were talking about. Aaron Rodgers obviously has now signed back with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and we know, obviously, with the Falcons playing the Steelers in Week 1 in Pittsburgh, we'll see Aaron Rodgers and the Pittsburgh Steelers in Week 1. We know that now, and it was in the story talking about how Aaron Rodgers, you know, he was in Pittsburgh this weekend, and him and his teammates went out for ice cream Friday night. And it just got me thinking, what are the best creameries out there, the best ice cream shops? Because, again, said it earlier, I love me some McFlurries. I love me some Frosties. I love the milkshakes and the frosted lemonades from Chick-fil-A. I'm here for all of it. But it hits different when you go to an actual ice cream shop, when you go to an actual creamery. It hits different, man. It hits different. So what is your favorite creamery? Doesn't even have to be here. If you've expanded your horizons and been to different creameries out in the U.S., it doesn't have to be just here in Georgia. I would love to know your favorite ones here in Georgia too, but you know, your favorite creameries or ice cream shops all over the U.S. If you had the pleasure of having a specific creamery in a specific state, we can talk about that as well. But whatever you want to get into, music, movies, life, sports, and yes, some of you may not know because this may be your first time hearing me on the radio. If so, hello, welcome. Appreciate you tuning in to Hometown Take this morning. My name is Dylan Matthews, and I am usually on 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. here on Sports Radio 99 The Game, Monday through Friday. That is the regularly scheduled edition of the Hometown Take. But during non-football season, because during football season I run the board for the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network. I handle the studio operations, make sure everything is, you know, going smoothly here back at the Kia Studios. I run, you know, I help out with the studio operations with the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network during Falcon season. So I'm already working on Sunday. So I don't do weekend shows during football season. But when football season is over, do some extended versions of the Hometown Take, which again is regularly on Monday through Friday, 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. So if you're not usually an early riser, you're probably hearing me for the first time. And when I do my extended shows, I'm usually on a little bit later. I'm usually on 2 to 5 on Sunday. It's been kind of the usual time for me here this go around. So again, if you're hearing me for the first time, appreciate you tuning in. And I will say this, because my whole point of telling you that was this. I am a huge Drake fan. You could probably even call me a Drake stan. And yes, later on in the show, we will talk about Iceman. Because yes, I have listened to all three albums. And I do have thoughts. And I'll give those to you coming up at 12:40 as well, before we get to Grill and Dylan. Let's just say, hey, the boy is back. He froze the world like he said he was going to. Hey, I'll just say this real quick, too. The rest of you hip-hop artists, y'all can take the rest of the year off, man. We good. We good. We got three Drake albums. We good. We don't need, we straight. Y'all can take the rest of the year off. Try again in 2027. Yeah, we straight. We don't need no new music for a while. We ain't trying to listen to y'all for a while. We good. I got my rap album. I got my R&B album. I got my dance hall album. I'm straight. I don't need to listen to nobody else. I will say this, though. The only other album I am interested in hearing, it doesn't drop to the 29th, I believe. The only other album that I am actually looking forward to hearing is actually Lotto's new album. Because Lotto been spitting on them first two singles she released. G-O-M-F and Business and Personal. Sheesh. Lotto been spitting, y'all. And apparently, she's going to retire after this album. Now, I'm sure she probably has the financials to do so. But I'm just surprised because it doesn't seem like she's been in the game that long. Now, she's been in it for a little minute, but don't seem like she's, you know, been going for that long. So I was just surprised to hear that. But, you know, people say that to kind of boost up the project they're about to drop too. So we'll see if she actually retires or not. Plus, she's about to have a baby. So I would think, you know, she's going to put out a few more albums, go on a few more tours to, you know, make sure the kid is all good, which it probably would be regardless. But still, I was just a little bit surprised to hear that news. Anywho, we can get into more music convo when we get to, again, Grill and Dylan here in about an hour from now. But I do want to talk a little bit of NBA playoffs right now. We do have a game 7 tonight between the Cavaliers and the Pistons. 8 o'clock on Amazon Prime Video is when game 7 is set for. I'm very interested to see this game 7 because I do think the Cleveland Cavaliers may have blown their shot. I think they may have blew it. They had game 6 at home, up 3-2, a chance to close out, a chance to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. And they just absolutely wet the bed. Pistons won game 6, 115-94. And Cavs said it themselves. Didn't come out with enough intensity. Didn't come out with that hunger, it felt like. And just didn't come out with the same energy. It was like you could tell Detroit knew their backs were up against the wall. And they played like it. And Cleveland was just like, yeah, game six. Yeah, cool. Home court. Yeah, cool. We'll see what we can do. But we're not too pressed. If we win this game, we win. And if we don't, we don't. It is what it is. It felt like that's what their mindset was. And that's why they end up getting blown out. It didn't match the energy or the intensity of the Pistons. Pistons absolutely dominated them in the paint. Cleveland did not shoot well. Detroit shot well, and part of that was Cleveland did not play that well defensively either. So now Cleveland's got to go back on the road in Detroit, game seven, where anything can happen. Got to go in an environment that's going to be raucous. Pistons fans ready to see their team get back to the Eastern Conference Finals since the Chauncey Billup, Rip Hamilton, Rasheed Wallace, and Ben Wallace days. Tyshawn Prince, too. And if you don't get a good performance from Donovan Mitchell, James Harden, you're going to need something from Jared Allen and Evan Mobley, too. I think more so on the defensive end than the offensive end, but still, going to need something from them. Going to need good contributions from Dean Wade, who has felt like he's done nothing this series. Going to need a better outing from Max Strus, who only gave you 6 points last game. Sam Merrill had a pretty good game. He had 10 points off the bench, but you probably want even maybe a little bit more from him. So, Cavs, going to have to bring it. You had a chance. You had a nice chance. Again, being at home, crowd was with you. Now you got to go to Detroit. Man, it's going to be tough. And I feel like this might be tough for the Cavs to bounce back from. And we already know James Harden. He didn't have a terrible game. Last game, game six, 23 points, 6 to 13 from the field, 3 of 8 from 3. Was 8 of 10 from the free throw line. 7 rebounds, 4 assists, but had 8 turnovers. It's really been the turnovers from James Harden. He's had a couple of clunkers where he hasn't really scored either, but it's been the turnovers for James Harden that have really been killing the Cavs. And so, going to need a game where he still scores and is productive and is efficient as far as scoring the basketball goes, but also can't turn the ball over and give the Pistons easy scoring opportunities. Going to need Donovan Mitchell to be Donovan Mitchell. So, I don't know. If James Harden can finally beat the playoff allegations of disappearing and not showing up in the playoffs, then maybe they have a shot. But I feel like the Cavs really may have blew it. Now, as far as the Pistons go, we know they've been hot and cold these playoffs as well. You're going to need offense. For me, it's all about the offense for the Detroit Pistons because they've been able to always do enough defensively to keep themselves in the ballgame. And I don't think that's going to change tonight. But it's about offensively, who else is going to show up besides Cade Cunningham? It's Jalen Duren. Going to be that double-double guy that he's been for you all season long. He was that in game six, 15-11. He was pretty darn good. Asar Thompson, can he give you something offensively? He did that. 10 points, 4-6 from the field, 9 rebounds, 4 assists, 4 steals. Doing it both ways, offensively and defensively. That's what you expect from him. Can he do that again? Danish Jenkins, he's been pretty good throughout probably the entire playoffs, but he's had games here and there. But he had a good game in game six. 5-11 from the field, 3-7 from three, 2-2 from the free throw line. He was good. You got 14 points from Duncan Robinson off the bench. He had 4 threes. Paul Reed, their backup big man, gave him 17 points. He was good. Can you get that same type of effort from those guys in game seven? And it would also help if Tobias Harris gave you maybe more than 6 points. But again, if you're getting double-digit performances from Jalen Duren, Asar Thompson, Danish Jenkins, Duncan Robinson, and Paul Reed, then it'd probably be fine. But are the other guys, are the rest of the role players for the Pistons, as Shaq would like to call them, the others, are the others going to show up for the Pistons offensively? That's really the only key to me for the Pistons. And can they dominate down low like they did in game six? Because it felt like Jalen Duren and Paul Reed were able to just kind of throw around Evan Mobley and Jared Allen. So I'll be watching out for that too. But should be a fun game seven between Cavs and Pistons. As far as who has a better chance to beat the Knicks in the Eastern Conference Finals, I'll say this. If the Knicks play the way they've been playing over like the last five games or however many it's been, I guess six games, because the last two games they played against the Hawks, and then all four games pretty much against the Sixers. If the Knicks play the way they've been playing over the last six games, it probably don't matter between the Pistons or the Cavs, because the way the Knicks have been playing, shooting the ball, lights out, playing just swarming, just overwhelming defense, they probably beat either team. But if the Knicks do finally cool off, I've been saying they got to cool off at some point. They still haven't. But if the Knicks at some point maybe do finally cool off, I think the Cavs have a better chance of probably beating the Knicks. But we'll see. I could see also the Pistons with their defense maybe competing with the Knicks. But I just don't think the Pistons have enough offense to beat the Knicks. And I think the Cavs defensively can be good enough to beat the Knicks with their offense. So we'll see how it plays out. I do think the Cavs have a better shot at beating the Knicks. And I think that will ultimately be the better series. But the Pistons did beat the Knicks all four games in the regular season. So the Pistons were upset this regular season about what happened last year in the playoffs between the Knicks and the Pistons. So we'll see if they carry that into the playoffs if they get past the Cavs tonight, Game 7. So should be an interesting one tonight. And I'm also interested to see the Western Conference Finals. We knew it was going to be the Spurs in Oklahoma City. We just knew that was going to happen. And now we're getting that. And I think that should be a very, very fun series as well. So we'll see how that one plays out too. But when we come back here on the Hometown Take, we're heading into the final hour of this Sunday edition of the Hometown Take. And we're going to kick things off talking about the Atlanta Falcons. Their 2026-2027 schedule is out. I'll tell you the good, the bad, and the ugly of the Falcons 2026-2027 schedule. When we come back here on the Hometown Take about 5-6 minutes from now, we'll get into, again, the good, bad, and the ugly of the Falcons' schedule right after this on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.